Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steele zine, pulling up numbers and reads, starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team, and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or the Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West Connection and
welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy Moss here, hanging out with Matt Kennerly. Website, of course, mwcconnection.com. We're on YouTube now. Yay, right? Woohoo. Check us out there. Yeah, we also got on Stitcher. We're on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes. Please give us a review. That's all we care about. We want reviews to help more people listen to our amazing show. And each and every week, we're going to do this. We're going to try to make this everyday thing or every show thing. And I apologize, I started to do daily podcasts but did one, so sorry folks, I'll get one up on Friday maybe. I was one for two this week, but here's what we do. Food. Brandon wants to come on food show, so we're discussing, should we have some sort of off-season just food show just to talk about food and stuff?
Maybe we could do some research for people who like want to take a road trip to other Mountain West towns and talk about maybe
food choices,
where the best places to get food in the West is.
Okay, let's head to eater.com and do some research, I guess.
We'll figure it out.
That's a good way to put it in there besides, hey, let's talk about your favorite food.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do something like that. That's a good way to stick it together to kind of make it all mesh. But we're going to talk, we're going to do food at the moment because bacon versus taco is still going strong. And I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy. Because it's still 52% to 48% in favor of Team Bacon.
There's a long way to go, though.
I thought it ended. When does it end? I know you probably told me this, but is there an end date in sight?
There's at least another month of this. It's a long-term thing. I think it goes until like the end of May, if I'm not mistaken.
Because these are both AAA affiliates, right?
Yes.
Okay, so their season starts pretty soon. So I maybe thought it went with, which makes sense, keep it going during the season for a little while to get some more interaction.
Yeah, the season here in town actually starts tomorrow night.
I think the Salt Lake Bees start. I know they had their media day a couple days ago, so they're probably starting this week as well. So we're going to talk about that. We got that. But the biggest important breaking news, Wednesday, National Burrito Day, which means don't go to Chipotle Day as well, right?
Well, okay, so depending on when you listen to this, National Burrito Day may have already passed you by.
Or Thursday, Thursday, April 6th, yeah. Not Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, if you had your one go-to place, what is it? Because you are in the taco capital of the world, but a taco and burrito are not the same, clearly, but close.
So, okay, so if we're talking in town, then the obvious go-to place around here in Fresno is a place called Don Pepe's. And there's two locations. I'm mostly just glad that there's one that's basically right across campus.
That's the best way.
And if we're talking about, like, if I could go any place to get a burrito, honestly, and I would say this for anybody who ever has the opportunity to do it, go to the Mission in San Francisco. There's like two or three phenomenal places where you can get Mission style burritos, which are just the most gigantic, the most glorious tasting burritos that you will ever have in your life.
So what makes them so special? Because we've discussed this location before.
Yeah, well, yeah, like I said, there's a couple of places, like La Elegante, I believe, is the number one rated place in all of San Francisco as far as burritos go. And then there's another place that's in the Mission kind of right down the street, actually, called La Taqueria. And honestly, some of it has to do with the size. Some of it just has a lot to do with the freshness. Like, if you go there, there's a line out the door for people waiting to get these burritos, and it's cash only. So if you're ever thinking about doing it, you got to make sure you have cash in hand for that.
That's suspicious. Cash only?
But it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, everything is made like so quickly, and it's made like basically right in front of you, made to order. And I feel like that's a significant part of what makes it so good.
But isn't, not to say it's a great thing, but isn't nearly every burrito place like that almost? Because if I go to, say, people go to Chipotle or Fry, I love Freebirds quite a bit, or there's these local places, they make them right there. I understand they're all made there, but like, I get it's made to order. Is there a burrito place where they're pre-made or something, or just... That's a weird concept. That's not a fresh burrito anywhere you go.
I mean, I don't know if there's an easy way for me to describe it. It's just like one of the best things I've ever eaten is really all I can say.
So what's your go-to thing though at this type of burrito place?
Honestly, like, I love shredded beef in a burrito. It just kind of reminds me of home and of like family reunions and stuff like that. And when you can get it fully loaded with like beans and rice and cheese and guacamole and stuff like that, it's just magnificent.
Very important question. What's your bean preference?
Bean preference? I mean, honestly, if I can get it, refried beans.
Yes, correct answer.
Well, of course, that's the correct answer. Well,
Because like I said, my place, I have a few places I go. Freebirds is my favorite by far, and they finally have them here in Utah. That's the only place I knew where they would put, black, pinto, which, stay away from pinto in my opinion. I go black or refried. But if I can, I can at the moment from trying to lose some weight. It's not something I should be eating, but that's the only place to refried beans. So, like, I'm around town here. Like, if you go to Dank Chipotle, I don't think they have that option. All these small local places here in Utah, they don't do refried beans as well. Or there's bigger chains. I don't know if there's like, is Costa Vida in your area? Is that out there? Are you familiar with Costa Vida? Are you familiar with that?
No.
Okay. It's not like the wrapped up burritos, but you can get salads. You can get burritos. They smother them, that type of style. So it's not like wrapped up to go. You just eat it like out of a kind of a tin there. It's not one you put in your hands to pick up. There's no refried beans there. I'm like, that's weird. So I stick the black beans in those places, but if I can get refried beans, that's the way to go. Would you put refried beans like in a taco or a burrito salad bowl, something on that type? That seems iffy to me. That's where I go black beans.
In a taco, no. I mean,
like the burrito bowl, essentially.
I would probably not be eating a taco salad or something like that.
Okay, that's fair. No, it is burrito day, like, so it's not taco salad day.
Yeah, but I mean, and just as another word of advice for all the burrito enthusiasts out there, if you didn't catch it the first time around when they were talking about it, do yourself a favor and run a Google search for burrito bracket.
Oh, yeah.
I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast before at some point, but this would have been like a few years ago now, where 538 basically went and tried to identify the best burrito place in all of America. So if you are traveling somewhere, whether it's in California, which by the way has its own region in this bracket, whether it's across the West, whether it's in the East Coast or the South or anything like that,
Mexico has some pretty solid options.
Chances are you can find a good burrito place anywhere you go.
I would say too, like, I'm from Texas, there's some decent places there, but here in Utah, like I said, there's a lot of these smaller places. People joke, like, let's just go to Beto's, because they're all either called Alberto's, Beto's, Rancheritos, they're all kind of the same name.
Robertito's, yeah.
Essentially, they're all the same. They're not similar, by clearly they're not similar. Well, they are, but they're all a little bit different, but I was surprised, and I'll tell you this, if I'm getting a burrito, I'd go to the one, there's a specific one I go to, but breakfast burrito is my choice no matter what. Number one choice by far.
That's fair.
I usually go sausage, sometimes steak, but usually sausage. And it depends, too. There's places around town where it's super greasy, and I don't like that because it kind of makes you feel sick. Or there's the one place I like. It's, I forget which one exactly called, but it's kind of where I used to live, near me now. But there's a couple that are really good. But if you get a good breakfast burrito, I'll go 2 a.m., 8 a.m. for breakfast, lunchtime. I'll get that. Those are probably the best places to go. But yeah, I'm looking at the burrito bracket now. They have a couple different combinations. But here's the here's the underrated burrito. No kidding.
Okay.
I know you preference and go to the Taco Bell as well, correct?
If I'm on the move, yeah. Taco Bells are everywhere.
Yeah, I mean it's not your favorite, but there's some decent stuff you'll get there sometimes, right?
Yeah, it's not bad.
So there's one. They don't have it around here in Utah. I don't know if it's a regional thing, but it's just the chili cheese burrito. Because I know when I go to, if I'm in Houston or Texas, they always have that on the menu, but they don't have it here all the time. They do sometimes.
You can't get a bean burrito?
It's just called it's like a chili cheese burrito. It's made a specific way, I guess.
That's weird.
It's weird, but it's basically kind of chili wrapped. It's very simple. The reason it reminds me now, I'm looking at that 538 best burrito. One of them looks like that, where it's all, what is it? It's chili and tons of cheese. But it's like, I don't know what it is, but it's just so good. It's very simple, but very good. Sometimes simple works, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And I'll tell you too, I said this a bunch of times. Our good friend Chris Hondris, who came on last week, told me about a place, if you're on Disneyland property down the left side, about a mile down from, there's like from the main gate on that left side, which I guess if you're, well, opposite side of Disneyland, I guess going away from the freeway, there's a great place, a strip mall, forget the name, check that out. But that's burrito stuff, that's burrito talk, I guess. Are we good? I guess we can skip the other part. We're gonna talk about,
for the benefit of our listeners who may not be aware of some of these places, can I just name check a couple of places that were in the bracket back in the day?
Definitely. It's 2014, it looks like. So I'm looking at it right here, and they're making me very hungry, and it's almost 10 p.m. o'clock, or 10 o'clock for me.
Apologies if these places don't exist anymore, but I do want to shout them out in case anybody wants to check them out.
If they're on this list.
For our New Mexico listeners, first of all, the number one seed in the West was actually a place in Albuquerque called Frontier Restaurant, so go check that out. Illegal Pete's, which I know there's one in Fort Collins. I didn't get a chance to go there when I was there. That was also in the bracket. In Vegas, there's a place called Comex Fusion. And even in Hawaii, there's a place called Kono's in Haleiwa. So go make your stomach happy.
I should check this place out, because this whole long article, it's just where bean and cheese are all it takes. That's basically what the chili cheese burrito is at Taco Bell. I'm sure this is much better.
Bean and cheese.
It's out in Los Angeles at Al and B's in L.A.
I haven't had a chance to go. I'm hoping to actually get there next week.
To L.A. or to that place?
to both, yeah.
Both. Because it's like, it looks exactly like what it is at Taco Bell, but better. And those places, like you mentioned, out the door. Are you familiar? It's a weird concept to me because I'm familiar with it. Do you know what a kolache is, right? Have we discussed this before? And he said no.
Probably flat-footed.
It's basically, it's a breakfast thing. It's like a hot roll with food inside. So like it's like a hot biscuit filled, like typically breakfast. So eggs, sausage, ham. You can get savory ones, sweet ones, where you can get infuse it with like whatever you want for breakfast, a jelly or fruit or peach. You know, I mean, just that type of stuff. There's this little place in Provo near me, like where I used to work at. They would have, for our department, every Wednesday we'd get these things, like get the kolaches. They're about as big as a baseball, and you'll get maybe two. They're really good at filling. You go down there, dirt cheap. It's not cash only, but it's literally, if you walk, you can't walk into the store because it's probably about what, three porta potty sizes to give an estimate of like how big it is, the standing area, something small like that. So pretty small. Line out the door for, it takes a while because they're so fresh. I went Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and I was way too late because I had to wait in line for 45 minutes. And they have guys doing magic stuff next to you to keep the kids occupied and just kind of screw around. But super good, super cheap. But find, there's got to be kolaches. If you go to L.A., there's got to be a place for kolaches. Go find a kolache place. So good.
Yeah. And also, can we shout out San Diego, too? Because I think among the Mountain West cities, they probably have their burrito game most on lockdown.
So what? Let me ask you this. What's better, a good burrito or a good fish taco or shrimp taco?
Ooh. Can I just say yes? I don't want to answer that question any other way.
Can I ask you, shrimp or fish taco? What's your preference that way?
Fish. And that's no disrespect to shrimp.
It's a good call. That's okay. Let's just say this. We were going to talk about the Masters, what they're doing, because it's Masters week, and was it UNLV's former Adam Scott's out there is pretty good. He's not making the dinner, but some British guy is, so let's just say we'd serve burritos. Is that quick enough to go over that?
Yeah, that's actually what I would do.
Because that's like what Tiger Woods did. Not burritos, but something Zipplehead burgers. It's like, yeah, there we go. All right, let's get to football talk. So if you made it this far, thank you. We'll now get to some football talk this week. It's always good to talk food. Brandon wants to join us, so we'll make sure that happens for some sort of a tour of where to stop in each city for these games and everything. So we had some news earlier today on Wednesday. The national schedule came out for ESPN and CBS games for the Mountain West, which is always exciting to look over and kind of see what's going on. Are you surprised? Are you happy so far Fresno has zero weeknight games?
I'm actually kind of surprised. Just because at least in recent history, there's been a habit of at least having one at home. And I know that that's going to make a lot of fans around here happy, is being able to get all six home games on Saturdays.
Oh, so it is every home game? I just noticed no Saturday games at the moment.
No, I think they had one Friday game on the road. I thought they had one Friday game on the road. Maybe I was imagining that.
No, I kind of zero, but I didn't check if all their home games were Saturday only.
Let me just run. It looks like you're right. Never mind. But actually, I went back and looked. I was like, when did the last time that happened? It actually hadn't happened since 2012. And I know that, you know, chances are, at least especially early in the season, because September can still be really hot around here, so they're probably going to be all Saturday night games. Mm-hmm. There may be like one, you know, 4:30 kickoff later in the year. I'm not totally sure. It looks like the Boise game is going to be at 12:30 on the day after, on the Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah. And you have a BYU game, but that's November. I guess the only games listed here, oh, they only have three listed on here at the moment, so there's others, but these are just the CBS sports games and ESPN games. There's still Root Sports, a Mountain West Network, but I don't think Root Sports ever did a weeknight game in the past couple years, so
I think they mostly just handled kind of the FCS matchups early in the year, and then the odd, you know, division game,
Wyoming CSU
kind of, yeah, or like Wyoming UNLV, stuff like that.
And one fan base that has rightfully to be very upset, the Fremont Cannon, nowhere to be found on this list.
That is interesting.
Because UNLV should be better, and Nevada, we're going to do some over-unders in a moment with a Matt Mummy / Hal Mummy references, but you got to think their offense is going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a contrast of styles this year more so than in other years. You know, because you figure UNLV is also going to be pretty run heavy if they have some experience at quarterback. Mm-hmm. But I think as far as the rivalry games are concerned, that actually, before you mentioned it, I didn't realize that that was not among the games. And that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, somebody mentioned to us on Twitter about that. But you got CSU at Wyoming. I wish it was the last weekend of the year, because that's November 4th. But I don't get why these end of season games have to be that way, because you have on Friday, Black Friday is always a game. You have New Mexico at San Diego State, which could be similar to the Boise Air Force last year, could decide a division title on the line, because they're both should be pretty good. Boise at Fresno, I guess that's a rivalry, right?
Nah. Yeah. I mean, ostensibly. It's like the rivalry between a hammer and a nail, but, you know.
Who, okay, I know we've asked this before, but who would you consider Fresno State's main rival? San Diego State?
I think it would have to be either San Diego State or San Jose State. And even then, it's not like any of those particular matchups have gone well for Fresno in the last few years.
Because then you got BYU at Hawaii. Yeah, that's sort of a rival a little bit, but non-conference. You got Wyoming, San Jose State. It's like, what? And the Rams have a bye week because they made the stupid schedule where they did make an adjustment where they do get one bye week, but they basically play every week in a row, almost. So why can't they switch that around? I don't know. But as for games, like as of right now, the non-Saturday games, you have that don't have a Saturday game. Fresno, obviously, Nevada, Hawaii, Wyoming, and San Jose State. And there's not that many weeknight games as well, because there used to be, I know a couple could change, but there used to be a doubleheader every now and then, like a staggered start. It's not like it was 2 years ago where you'd have to fight between CBS and ESPN kicks at the same time. But the schedule looks nice because maybe this is a possibility. The MAC has zero Saturday games. Is it November on, I believe? Or is it zero non-conf? Or what is it? Is it conference play? They have no Saturday games. Is that correct? I think.
If I remember correctly, it's that they have zero conference games on Saturday in November.
That's what I thought, November on. So a full month of that, which is okay. I'm curious, maybe that has something to do with the Mountain West getting more of these. That's only 1 month, essentially.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, it looks like it only is November. Awful announced seed did something again on this, because it's been a while we've noticed that. But so anything stick out to you, like, for who got games? So we know Boise gets the most because they're a side deal, which we'll get to in a minute. But we do get Boise at San Diego State, but on CBS Sports Network, which, here's the thing. People complain about that channel. There's reasons to complain because it is on a little bit higher tier. But is it really that much? Okay, I don't want to judge by people's wallet what they could spend, but can't you get it for 2 months, 3 months out of season if you're already subscribing to some sort of pay TV package? Because you can go September, 3 months worth. That's all it takes, 3 months, essentially.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure.
I'm just saying, for my package, I downgrade every year usually, or I try to if I can, depending on like what I get from rebates and all that fun stuff. But for me, it's $8 a month different to have it or not have it. And I can cut it for half the year and get that money back, essentially. But the only issue we have is they don't stream games unless it's the freaking window. Why can't they have a four-hour window? Come on. Is it that hard?
No, but, you know, it's CBS, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, let's join this game of progress. Second quarter going on. And then my best thing about this, because people know I do stuff for BYU for my other regular job, and so people were, when I tweeted out on our account, like, hey, here's some tweaks to the schedule. BYU at Hawaii, and then the Utah State game is also on CBS Network. I mentioned this out there because I said it could be really cruel. That game against BYU could be on Time Warner Oceanic and nobody could watch it.
That would actually be really funny, though.
I would love if that would happen. People are like, you might as well put no TV on the BYU schedule. It's like, people, relax. Commentators are fine. My only issue is that they don't have the window preference or streaming. That's it. You know, that's kind of a big deal, but come on, it's not that bad.
You just got to check Twitter for Periscope. Find one hero out in the Hawaii crowd willing to stream the game for free.
Exactly. So I just thought that was funny. But people who complain about it still, that like it's why the Mountain West is worse. I'm like, hey, you could be Conference USA and have your games on BN Sports.
Okay, so you were asking me what stood out to me in the schedule.
Any surprises you finally come across?
Did you happen to notice how many games New Mexico is featured in?
6 national, 4 ESPN?
Yeah. Right? They get like a lot of run this year compared to a lot of, you know, years past where maybe their profile wasn't quite as high, but I think that is a credit to the job that Bob Davey has done in the last couple of years to really build them into a legitimate contender in the conference.
You need to address them by its proper name.
Football Bob.
Yeah. There you go. That's okay. Now I know who you're referring to. Thank you.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting too, because they are kind of getting that weeknight treatment more so than any other team. Like their first matchup at Boise's on a Thursday night, and then later on,
four of them.
Yeah, and then that later on they have, you know, Friday night at home against Colorado State, and then Friday night at home against UNLV, and then on the road, interestingly, at San Diego State on a Friday night, which, you know, if we're circling one game on the last week of the season, that could change
Black a lot Friday. Of things.
That's probably it. But I think that that's really cool for the Lobos to be able to get those audiences, to be able to get that spotlight to themselves, because they've put in a lot of work and gotten the kinds of results that deserve it.
That's true, but also fans need to show up for their games.
That's true.
They had that game hosting Boise State after beating them the year prior. Yeah, they got curb stomped this past year, but at least by Brett Rypien, who tore them up. Show up to these games. Right now, your football team is a miles ahead of your basketball team, which is weird to say.
Has that ever happened before?
I doubt it, because Bob Davie took them like to their first ever bowl game when Rocky Long, before he said, because remember the infamous quote, "I cannot do anything else here. I've done as much as I could at this program."
How good was the basketball team in 2007? I'm gonna look this up real quick.
How bad was the football team in 07? Is that the final year they made the bowl game?
Okay, in 2007, under Steve Alford, they went 24-9 and finished third in the conference.
Tournament bid, I'm assuming?
I don't know. Let's see. This is really riveting podcasting. They had an NIT berth.
Okay. Was that the same year that Rocky Long took him to a bowl game?
That was the year they won 9 games, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. It's just show up. It's like I tell people are finally coming around to watching New Mexico football. Because if you, like I say it every time, like I was on New Mexico. It's not a brag up, clearly, but seeing what they did when they nearly beat Boise State the first time around, like when they've always caused them problems when they joined the league. But I was on them like months before. People like I usually during the summer I get brought on to various radio stations across the Mountain West to talk about them. They're like, "Who's your team to look out for?" I've always said New Mexico every time. But when they won 4 games, whatever it was, Bob Davie, I'm like, "Watch out for New Mexico." Trust me. It's true. If I always say the same thing, if they can have a quarterback who could sort of throw, and a defense that does not give up too many points, they could easily win the conference. And I don't think that's far off to say. That if it's Austin Apodaca who's throwing the ball, if it's Lamar Jordan being the QB there, and their because defense has improved, but their points per game is too high. If they can get those two things a little bit better, there's no reason they can't win the conference and win 10 games. The other interesting note I found of this was Wyoming has quite a few games, which is good for them. They're defending, what do they get, 8 of these? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 overall. I'm curious. I think CBS Sports Network had the first pick on Saturday, September 16th. Or the only picks. Because you have Oregon coming to Wyoming on CBS Sports Network. And then Stanford at San Diego State also on CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the same weekend? I think that's the same weekend where, for example, Fresno State's going to be at Washington. So I imagine they're, you know, they haven't accounted for all these non-conference games yet.
True.
And I imagine, especially in September, when, you know, some of these teams are going out to, you know, tilt at windmills, basically. that, you know, even if they aren't national games on, you know, this particular package of games for CBS Sports Network and for ESPN, it's going to be on, like, Fox Sports 1 or, you know, the SEC Network or something like that.
Well, here's the reason that weekend's interesting, because you have Air Force at Michigan, probably Big Ten Network game.
Yes.
Colorado State at Alabama. I would say either SEC Network or ESPNU that day, depending on the time of day. Because there are a lot of road games. Utah State at Wake Forest. And then, like I said, Fresno at Washington. Idaho State at Nevada, probably a Root or a Digital. And then you have San Jose State at Utah, which is probably Pac-12 Network, I'm assuming.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
So that week there's a ton of road games. I don't know why there was a... Because I don't know the rotation, how they pick, but you would think one would be on ESPN and one would be on CBS.
That's gonna be a good week of games.
That is it. There's probably not many wins coming across there, but
and that week—that's the same weekend that starts with New Mexico and Boise State on Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday night. So you got that conference game, which could be huge.
That's gonna be so good.
That weekend outside, like honestly, the only game that's kind of a clunker, really, like Idaho State, Nevada.
I'm excited. Why can't it be football season already?
I know. Why is it not here? Like that weekend? Because Now we're not going. I'm not going to go that far. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole right now. But can I just make one stupid upset pick now?
Sure.
Wyoming's going to beat Oregon.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Is that really that stupid though? Just because of how bad Oregon was last year, and they have a new head coach in town.
I mean, I still think that there's some kind of catch it with the Ducks, but I'm not going to say it's outside the realm of possibility.
Wait, did you say catch it or cachet?
Cachet. Did I say cat? Whatever.
You said catch it? Sorry, close I'm enough. Like, wait. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm not the it's one good. Who said something incorrectly. The only other thing on the schedule, I guess, San Diego State is, as always, for some reason, CBS Sports Network loves San Diego State. Not sure why, but they do. Because they have, was it five, six, seven other games on CBS Sports Network.
That's a lot.
Do you have any reason why that's the case?
I do not.
And it's almost always night games when they're at home.
I think it's more interesting that a team like San Jose State is going to be on ESPN a little more than San Diego State.
Why?
I mean, I imagine it'll probably be something like ESPN3 for a game like, for instance, at the end of the year, Wyoming and San Jose State. You know,
well, it depends how good Wyoming is.
You know, San Diego State and San Jose State might be like the 7 o'clock game on ESPN2 or something like that. You know, San Jose State at UNLV is probably going to be like an ESPN3 game. I'm assuming that's what it's going to come down to.
Because there's not that many streaming games from the Mountain West on ESPN3. There's usually maybe, what, 4 at most? Not many?
Yeah, there's not that many.
Because they stick games on... Well, ESPN News typically goes to the American Conference for the most part. But I don't know. Anything else you want to mention on the schedule? I think that's pretty good covering it all.
I think you're right.
So let's do this really quick. One more. We'll do over-unders here in a moment. Here, we don't want to make this too long. We're at half an hour at the moment. I thought this already happened, but I guess last summer... Craig Thompson talked to the Reno Gazette Journal about the TV structure package, the bonus stipulation. I thought it went into effect last year, but this year it's changing officially. So for those who don't know, you heard this, somewhere. If you played on basically ESPN2 or higher, so ESPN2, ESPN, ABC, or CBS, something, one of those. So not ESPNU and not CBS Sports Network due to ratings. It had to be a home or conference-controlled game. So conference games or home non-conference games. And so you got paid $300,000 for a weeknight game, $500,000 for a Saturday game, plus some incidentals or late kick times for a few extra bucks for those like 8 p.m. or Mountain or 7 p.m. Pacific kick times. And Boise State had their own side deal where they're guaranteed to play 5 other 6 home games on an ESPN channel. So they got built-in money right there, right away. And then you can do the math right now quickly if you keep up or want to do it. If you're in the Mountain Division, you get a bonus just because you're playing Boise State more than the West Division. And some teams skip out playing Boise State so because they get more ESPN games. That's being scrapped. So those bonuses are still in place. But it's being divided amongst 11 teams, Hawaii being the exception because they have their own deal with Time Warner Oceanic pay-per-view, which, as much as I hate, it gets them some money. I just want an option to watch it in the U.S., even pay, maybe. You think that would be an option, right, to even pay for it in the U.S., in the mainland? Instead of those weird Periscope feeds where you have to do portrait lock on your phone to watch. So, but a couple of things that starting this year, which is a good deal. And, like, good thing, like he mentioned, the golden ticket if you're playing. Because part of it, too, it's luck of the draw. Because if you're not playing Boise State and it's, say, Wyoming to Air Force, and there's a 12-day window or 6-day window, it depends how good your team is. And so that could go to ESPNU. Like, your budget could be, like, the difference was zero to maybe $1 million or $2 million to some schools, which is completely unfair, which they should have fixed it sooner. So now what it's doing, it's being divvied up evenly. So each team gets approximately $1.1 million. But then Boise State still has a side deal, which pays them almost $3 million per year. 2.8, I want to say it was here, 2.9 total. So that's unfair about that, but this has to be the right decision.
I mean, I think you're right. And I think especially when you consider the fact that teams in the Mountain West, when they are scheduling their non-conference things, we've talked about this in podcasts past about how, you know, Fresno State is making deals to get $1.5 million to go play USC, or Nevada is getting $1 million to go out and play Northwestern and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you take this kind of equity in consideration with that kind of equity, I think in the long run, it's going to make the conference more competitive. Like, yeah, Boise's still going to be getting the extra, you know, $1.5 million or so. You know, I think at this point, kind of based on brand more than anything. But I think in the long run, like maybe the next 5 years or so, I think it'll eventually even the playing field, because, you know, teams will be able to, you know, put that money into the program, you know, to be able to build better facilities, you know, attract better recruits, stuff like that. And I think it'll make the Mountain West better, you know, over time.
Sure. And the TV deal, I think it ended in 2019, I want to say. So there'll be renegotiations. Here's the thing, because there's a lot of action on our Facebook page about this and on Twitter going back and forth. Even though making agreements with, I hate to say it's about San Diego State fans, but it's true with any fan base. There's always a small amount that will complain about anything and cry about anything, about the smallest disadvantage. I even made a joke, which I thought was hilarious. There was, I need to find it real quick. Basically saying that BYU or Boise, when they play BYU, they have an off week and then like an extra, and then before they play them, and then an extra day to play San Diego State. Mm-hmm. And I put a joke reply, which I had assumed people got it because it was in all caps, is why does Boise always get the advantage? And then I signed it most San Diego State fans. I'm like, if it's all caps, wouldn't you think that was a joke?
Well, I mean, you know, Twitter.com isn't exactly built for nuance.
I got one reply. Was that
learned our lesson by now?
With FSU Twitter? Draft day will be fun if McNichols goes before Dalvin Cook, but it's probably not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen. It's going to be so good if it does.
Yeah, it was just, here's exactly what it was. Boise gets bye week after week four before a Friday night game versus BYU. Also gives Broncos extra day prep before San Diego State game. Mm-hmm. And I put like, why does Boise get all the breaks, all caps? And I put signed and then parentheses, nearly every SDSU fan. But which I thought that was pretty clear. But here's the thing, like, I think I arguing and like our Facebook's going nuts about this. The clear reason, like, the guy replies to me, he's like, your point makes no sense, because Boise State, if you're gonna tune, if you're flipping through Thursday, Friday, even Saturday night, and Boise State, what would you rather be tuning in for a minute, if it's Boise State or San Diego State?
I mean, I feel like that's a kind of a loaded question at this point, just because I think it's, and I think other Aztec fans have brought this up, that at least as far as the last couple of years, it's pretty clear that the Aztecs have had more success than the Broncos have had.
Yes, they have.
I think if you're thinking in terms of the average college football fan, you know, that, you know,
that's what I mean. Yes.
Yeah, the average football fan who has maybe passing knowledge of the Mountain West is probably still going to be more inclined to want to watch Boise State and San Diego State. And like I said, that's not a disrespect to the Aztecs, because, you know, I'm not going to deny the success they've had in the last couple of years, but they don't have the track record. And I say track record in terms of like the last decade plus, where, you know, Boise State's gone to Fiesta Bowls and, you know, people remember those kinds of things. And I think that in the long run, if San Diego State is able to do that, then it would be a little more of an argument. But they haven't quite built up the little, you know, nook in the mind of the national consciousness, if that makes sense.
It's true. That's my point. Like, people are like, well, they're better. I'm like, well, okay, we can make the dumb joke about Notre Dame going 4-8.
Mm-hmm.
They still get massive ratings for being on NBC or watching Notre Dame football.
Yeah.
So that's not, that's a big extreme because of they're very, 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 very popular. But that's the point. It's like, it's brand versus success. Look at New Mexico. They should have had more games last year on ESPN or national games. They had very few. They surely get to 6 because they keep winning. That'll help them improve. And people complain about CBS, like San Diego State. That's the home, basically. That's like, if there's a home team for CBS Sports Network in college football, it's probably San Diego State for how many games are on there. But like, their arguments, like, and one guy mentioned, well, maybe if you go to the Fiesta Bowl or BCS Bowl once in a while, you'll get that respect. But it's true. It's hard. No matter what we say, it's going to be sound disrespectful to San Diego State fans. And I even mentioned, like, I even talked, like, went back and forth for a while. I'm like, your point's valid because they are currently, they're like, okay, first off, they call Boise State a middle of the pack team. If you win 10 games, you're not middle of the pack. You're a good, very good football team. And then, like, well, ranking middle of the season mean nothing as well. I'm like, they were ranked top 20 heading into the final week of the season, not midseason rankings. This was the final week they were ranked in the top 20. And had they beat Air Force, would have had an inside track to going to the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
That's not week 6 rankings. That's week 14 and week 15 rankings.
And I mean, to add to your point, it's not disrespectful just because I think...
It's true.
I think every fan base intuitively knows this. Going undefeated is hard, and there's a reason that nobody did it last year.
Yeah. And one other thing I brought up, which, okay, here's what I'll go back to my point. Like, we joked about this before the show, but it's true. You had San Diego State going to the Big East years ago, Boise State deciding to go to the Big East, had to sign a contract. And at the time, Boise was still a better program. San Diego State was not where it was now. It was getting closer, but they weren't winning double-digit games, winning Mountain West titles back-to-back. And I'll say this a million times. Had San Diego State been perceived as good as Boise State, they would have got that sweetheart deal to return to Mountain West. But it was Boise State who had it, because honestly, had, say, San Diego State decided to stay in the Big East, and who knows what would have happened with the American had they had to go independent for years or come back later, the Mountain West would be just almost, well, nearly the same without them than with them. Is that fair to say? And so that's kind of my point. Go back to there. If you're the better program, if you think you're the bigger or better program, you would have gotten the deal, but you didn't. And that's where the difference is. Now it's much closer. San Diego State has been better the past 2 years, but also in the next TV deal, there's no leverage from any team leaving to another conference. The next TV deal in a couple of years will be, or at least it better be and should be, even across the board. Whatever the revenue comes out to be, it has to be split equally. And I expect that to be the case.
I agree.
So that's just my final thoughts. Like, if Aztecs were the better program, they would have gotten the deal, but they didn't. And so that's where you stand.
Yeah, and I mean, but I think this is the kind of conversation that changes very slowly.
That too,
but like,
yeah.
But like you said, it's the kind of thing that's really only going to change if the Aztecs break through in the same way that Boise State did. Like, they basically have to get to a New Year's Day game and win it in order to be taken seriously.
I'll say this again. Good teams don't lose to South Alabama. Just saying.
And I mean, and that's the same standard that I would hold any team in. Yeah. The Mountain West. Like, I know Fresno State fans feel like they need to be in that conversation too about, you know, moving to the Pac-12 someday, which I don't think is going to happen. But like, if you want to be taken seriously like that, that is the bar, and it is very high for a reason.
Yeah, people were pissed when Utah State lost to Arkansas State all those years ago, despite Arkansas State winning the Sun Belt for however many years in a row they were winning it at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm not picking on it maybe sounds like I'm picking on Aztecs, but this conference, you shouldn't lose to a Sun Belt team. Boise State plays Troy, pretty good Sun Belt team, very good Sun Belt team. Boise should still win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to our, I guess it's our main topic. I don't know, is that how far we are? We're sitting at 40 minutes already.
We can call it a main topic, how about that?
And the scheduling and that stuff, we had to get going on that stuff. So over-unders. We were going to make up some fun over-unders, which we kind of did. but I was lazy. Work got in the way. But ESPN was lucky to bless us with an updated power index.
Nice.
I don't know how it got updated, but it's updated. So here's what we're doing. Kind of a little game here, kind of over-unders, win totals, I guess. And then we'll have some fun ones at the end. So let's kind of make these quick so we can discuss the fun ones a bit more quickly or okay. have more time. So this is order of FPI as well. So Boise – oh, jeez, we got to start with Boise State. Is that true? Is that true?
I mean, it's at the top for a reason, so yeah.
They're 57 in the football power index. So here's a couple quick numbers before we get to it. They say Boise State right now, 0.2 chance of going undefeated, 28.9 chance of winning the conference, which, okay, good for them. They're sitting at, we'll put the over-under at 8 wins, because we're going to round down. It's technically 8.1.
Okay.
Are they going to get over or under 8 wins?
I think it's a pretty easy over.
He'll take 9 or more wins because they've won 10 the past. They won 9 regular season games the past couple of years, and or no, 10 last year because lost to Baylor. So you think it's a foregone conclusion they'll get above that to 9?
Yeah, I mean, I think even though they're missing some key pieces on the offensive side of the football, I think it's kind of foolhardy to go against the track record that they've established.
Really quick, here's the losable games that are potential losses on their schedule. I could see where they may get blown. I'm going to say over as well, just to get out of the way now. But at Washington State, possibility. Mm-hmm. New Mexico is never a given. At BYU, at San Diego State, and then they lost to Wyoming last year. So there's at least 5 games they might lose on the schedule. And even they go to CSU. So there's 6 games that are tough on their schedule. And then I'd say Air Force is a step below, but there's 6 games they may not win this year. But I'm still going to take the over.
Long story short, the Mountain Division remains the Mountain Division.
Exactly. So next team real quick is San Diego State. We're going to, like I said, blast through these really quick. They actually have a higher probability, 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
But yet they're ranked lower a little bit, which they're not that far lower. I think they're 62.
62, yeah.
They're actually given a 40% chance to win the conference, 0.1 to win out. So San Diego State, part of it, we'll say it right now, the West Division, I said it was terrible. People got mad at me, but it is. I think it's still pretty terrible. Improving slowly, but still pretty bad. Here's a couple of toughies on the schedule. At Arizona State,
mm-hmm.
hosting Stanford. NIU, they're still not what they are, but it's okay. They finally get Boise again on the schedule at home, and they go to Hawaii. And then, obviously, New Mexico, except Black Friday.
Yeah.
Are they going to win 9 games? With a quarterback returning, basically, they lose Pumphrey, but you know, they got Rashard Penny back there doing his thing.
I mean, I think, like Boise, this is a pretty clear call, too. I think that they're going to be probably in a few more fights than they were last year. You know, one or two of the teams in the West Division may, you know, play them within one score where they were getting blown out last year. But I think it's pretty safe to say they're still the class of the division at least. And so I would say, yeah, they'll probably win. I would go with the over.
Because did Arizona State make a bowl game last year? I want to say they didn't.
I think last year was a down year for Arizona State.
Todd Graham. They lost Mike Norvell, who's at Memphis now, right? As their head coach?
Yes.
They end up going... they didn't go to bowl game. They lost their last... Oh, that's a team that started off like 5-0 or something. 4-0, then end up going 5-7. So that's not necessarily a super tough game, but it's something to look out for. But I'll go over two. I'll go 8.5. I'll say 9 or more. They got CSU. They're sitting at 7.7. So do we round up to 8 for them?
Yes.
That's right in between. So the Rams are one of our next over-overs. Over-unders. They got the new stadium coming up. Is that going to give them a boost by any means?
I mean, without knowing kind of the historical precedents for moving into a new facility, I'm not totally sure, but I wouldn't be surprised.
So they moved their home opener, Oregon State, so they actually have a bye week in the season, which is nice for them to have. They host Oregon State. They're at 7.5. That's interesting because Oregon State, not a good team. Colorado lost their quarterback. They go to freaking Alabama.
Yeah.
Then they have like New Mexico's not easy on the road. They go to Wyoming. They host Boise. Would you say they're gonna win 8 games next year? Because I remember my stupid upset pick late in the year to recap the season or super early was Rams are going to win the Mountain West Conference. So I have to say over, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is going to depend on how well they do against the West Division. And I think that the toughest matchup they're going to get is traveling to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Colorado State should be a really good offense that puts up points against just about anybody. So while the non-conference schedule has a few more challenges than the conference schedule, I think... I would probably go over here as well, actually.
So they'll get to 9 wins?
I think they will.
Because look at their non-conference schedule. I could easily see them going 3-1, just losing to Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then a beneficial for them, they get the off week before they go to Hawaii. So they go from Tuscaloosa, hang out at home for a while, then they can go to Hawaii on Saturday night game.
Yeah. And like it's going to depend on how they do in that 3-game stretch after Alabama, because they go at Hawaii, at Utah State, in Nevada. And if they can get to 3-0 in conference play after that point, then what? They're 5-1 at that point? And I think from there, it's, you know, there's a few more fights along the way, but it's definitely doable, I think.
If you first say and get to 9 wins, but that stretch at New Mexico, host Air Force, at Wyoming, host Boise, whew, that's pretty tough there.
Yeah.
Taking the over. We will do and take the over. And they're in the FPI, they're one spot behind San Diego State. And so next up on the list really quick, Wyoming Cowboys, 7 is their over-under. So that means 8 or 6.
Oh, man, that's hard. Honestly, I'm not totally sure about Wyoming. And I understand that they've got Josh Allen coming back. But they'll probably have an easier time in the non-conference than a lot of other teams. But at least for right now, without having had a good look at what their spring looks like or what their depth chart looks like, I don't have a great feeling about them, so I would probably go under for the Cowboys.
For them, we do know Josh Allen's back, Brian Hill's gone, they lose their Roulier, center's going to be drafted. CJ Johnson should be good at wide receiver. I just think if the offensive line's strong, they should be okay, but Josh Allen losing so much talent around him will be difficult. And they do open up at Iowa. Like, their non-conference isn't terrible, but it's still pretty good. Because, like, they should beat Texas State. They should beat Gardner-Webb. They go to Iowa, which... Is Craig Bull going to continue them losing a bit from former North Dakota State or current North Dakota State teams?
Iowa's going to Iowa in that game. It doesn't really matter.
Well, didn't they lose to North Dakota? That's why I mentioned the Bison. They lost North Dakota State last year, right?
They did.
So there's that. And Craig Bull used to coach there. And Wyoming is pretty good. So they could be, like, honestly, like, this is not me just spouting off because of pimping the league, but I wouldn't be overly shocked if they were to go 4-0 in conference play.
Yeah, I guess not.
Because Oregon, like you said, they have a new coach, Willie Taggart's there. They weren't very good last year. They still got athletes, and what he did at South Florida is pretty impressive prior to moving up to Eugene. But they go to Iowa. That could be a win, like I said. Gardner-Webb, yes. Oregon at home, maybe. They host Hawaii for the Hawaiian Cowboy Trophy, right?
What's it called?
Yes, that's that trophy. That's the best one. So you have that. But they could seriously go 5-0. They probably won't, but I wouldn't be surprised. They got to go to Boise. They got to go to Air Force. You said under, right? At 6.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust Craig Bull and say over.
All right, then.
That's a tough one to say, but I think they can do it over. I think because, like I said, they should win. Before their bye week, they should have at least 3 wins. I think they can beat New Mexico at home, Fresno at home, and San Jose State on the road. They just need to beat, like, Boise and Utah State or CSU.
Yeah, so, like I said, it's a lot of it is
going to be
how they play on the road, I think, because they have a very friendly home schedule this year.
True, yeah, because the easy road game, I'd say, is San Jose State. That's it.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a tough one. Next one real quick. I'm going to say the over no matter what. Air Force at 5.
That seems awfully low.
The reason why it's low, and I remember, I think it was like 4.2 earlier, part of their formula is returning players, returning starters.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Air Force loses 9 defensive starters off last year's team.
That, yeah, I guess that would make sense.
And that's why. However, and so that's, like, even a quick glance at their schedule. They get VMI. They get off week before Michigan, which they probably won't win, but their road schedule is pretty tough. At Michigan, at New Mexico, at Navy, at Nevada, at CSU, at Boise State. Holy crap. Are they going to win a road game?
Apparently, the only team that has less returning starters in the entire FBS is Michigan.
Oh, there we go. They face off in week 3.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, they're definitely going to have a lot of questions in how they replace a lot of the talent on defense. But I feel like if Worthman can be as good of a passer as he was last year, that offense is going to be killer.
I got to praise Robinette, though, Jalen Robinette.
Yeah, but I mean, even without Robinette, with the running attack, you know, coming back, it should be as good as it was by the end of last year. And so that's why I would take the over.
Yeah, I partly because Air Force is always prepared. Yeah, that road schedule is pretty brutal, but they could easily win every home game. Maybe San Diego State obviously being the exception, and even Wyoming, but I got to say over, because there was that 1 year where they won 2 games. That's a very anomaly for them, for that to happen. All right, Utah State's also the same thing at 5. Oh, boy. What do we know about Utah State here, real quick?
Well, I mean, we know that they were unlucky last year in some respects.
Very.
I mean, I have a feeling that when we start getting into the team previews, I'm probably going to feel better about Utah State than you will. I think that they're probably good enough to go over their projection here. And whether that's a rebound to 6-6 in a bowl game like, you know, the New Mexico Bowl or the Hawaii Bowl or something like that, that I feel is kind of where they're headed.
Well, real quick, they have a new offense.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they have a running game and offensive line to help that, because they got Kent Myers back. Like I said, they probably have one of the better receiving cores in Ron Quavion Tarver.
Yeah.
Jeez. And Rashad Lewis, two of the best names as well. Kent Myers is back. Defense, last year was tough because who they lost, but they bring back a lot of starters. Like, they could, like, they have Idaho State, they should win. I have no problem seeing them beating Wake Forest, who wasn't that great last year, if I'm correct on that. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest is never all that great. So that's the return game from a couple years ago, because Wake last year, they did go to a bowl game and won that bowl game, but they lost 5 of the last 7 games. They started off strong by beating up, like, on Delaware, Indiana, and Tulane. So that might be a win for Utah State, but they go to San Jose State, should be a win. They got a good home stretch, BYU, CSU, Wyoming.
Is that a good home stretch, though? Because I feel like if they're getting to 6 wins, they're going to have to go 2-1 on that stretch.
And that's
said than done.
Yeah. I don't know if that's possible. Because BYU's defense is going to be good. They'll have a good quarterback, but their running game receiving core is still very much in question.
I think if Utah State's going to get to 6-6, and we'll talk more about this in future podcasts, they're going to have to go at least 500 at home, and they're probably going to have to go at least 500 in non-conference play. But we'll see.
What are you saying, over or under?
I'm saying over, because I think they can get to 6-6.
I love Matt Wells, but all right. Oh, man. I'm going to say under right now.
Okay.
Because, like I said, running game was not very good last year. You got the QB receivers, it's defense, like all those things I mentioned, but they're not going to beat Wisconsin. I don't think they'll beat BYU. I don't think they'll beat CSU. Wyoming, maybe. But they go to UNLV, which they should be better. They got Boise at home. That's another loss. Add New Mexico, Hawaii. Just that last month of the season, too. Like, their conference, like BYU on? Look at that. BYU, CSU, Wyoming, bowl team, bowl team, bowl team. Mm-hmm. UNLV should put up points. Boise, bowl team, New Mexico, bowl team, and a road game. Off week, and then bowl team, end of season. Every what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Six other seven games are against ones that went to a bowl game this past season. So I'm going to say under right now.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. I know Kent Myers follows us on Twitter. He likes our stuff, but I apologies to him. All right, this one's the most. This one might be even more ridiculous than Air Force. New Mexico at 5.
So you think it's
where's the respect, man? Come on.
I think a lot of it, because you said returning starters has a lot to do with it, and they are kind of in the same boat as Air Force as far as returning defensive starters, because Air Force has one guy coming back. New Mexico only has 3.
Because they lose Travion Gibson. Mm-hmm. So who's their returning starters? Let me guess. They consider Lamar Jordan a returning starter?
Yes.
So him, they have, I'm going to guess, a random wide receiver and a defensive lineman?
I think Kimmy Carson is coming back. I think he's the lone starter back on the defense.
Okay, this may change because their defense hasn't been very good. Oh, man. So what is it, 5 we said, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, they're going to start off 2-0. They're going to be Abilene Christian and Mexico State. I think they'll beat Fresno State. Do you believe that's the case?
Probably, yeah.
They play Texas A&M on November 11th. How did that happen? let me guess. That's cupcake weekend for SEC, and they think the Lobos are a cupcake, right?
Could be.
Here's the thing about New Mexico. I still have the Mike Locksley stink on them.
Okay.
That's hard to wash off, man.
So what are you saying?
I really don't want to say under, because they surprise me every year, even though I backed them a couple years ago. I'm going to say over out of principle, but it's looking tough because the Tulsa game last year was pretty ridiculous for them. They gave up too many passing touchdowns. Air Force versus them will be interesting, but that can grind it out to be either way. CSU has an overall better team. It's just that it's also the defense. I don't trust their defense at all either.
My impression is that they'll probably win a game or two that they shouldn't, and they'll probably lose a game or two that they shouldn't as well.
Like last year.
Yeah. And so on the whole, I think that the offense is probably still good enough to cover up the defensive liabilities. So mm-hmm. I would probably take the over because I think that the offense is still good enough to get to 6 wins.
Because I think like they should beat UNLV, they could beat Utah State, both at home.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Abilene Christian 3, Mexico State 4. They just need 2 more to get there, and Fresno's probably 5. So I'll go over anyways, but I'm not comfortable like them winning at Wyoming,
mm-hmm.
them winning at San Diego State. Those are tough games. But I'll go over just because I believe in football, Bob. All right, we need to make these quick. We're going running way too long. Right. So UNLV mm-hmm. at 5.5. I say under.
Same.
Okay, we'll talk about them later. Nevada 4.5. That has to be over, right?
Oh no. I mean, I didn't have a good feeling about Nevada last year. And at least at this point, I don't know that they've done anything to really change my mind about it. So I'm gonna say slightly under.
We do know James Butler's back. There's a QB battle between Cornwell and Ty Ganji, but Ganji has the edge right now.
They have a very unforgiving non-conference schedule.
I don't have it up here. Who do they have in non-conference?
At Northwestern, home versus Toledo, home versus Idaho State, at Washington State.
I can see them splitting that, possibly.
I don't know, man.
Does Toledo have Logan Woodside back again?
I believe they do, yeah.
Yeah, that's a loss. I think they could beat Northwestern, maybe.
Yeah, we can talk more about that later.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, they're gonna prove me wrong because they're in the West. So San Jose, UNLV, maybe. I gotta go under right now. So sorry, they're under. Hawaii, 5. So Hawaii's 4.6. Are we rounding up or down on that?
We're rounding up to 5.
I know. I'm just curious. They're closer to 4.5 than 5. I think they'll get it because UMass, Western Carolina, the open season. I think they'll get to it.
I think they probably will too.
I'll say a bowl game again.
If only because they do play 13 games again, right?
Oh, they do play 13. Do they? 3. see, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. No, only 12 this year.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's surprising.
They start August 26th and get two bye weeks, so.
There you go.
I think they'll get to a bowl game because I think they can beat San Jose. I think they can beat UNLV, Fresno 3, maybe CSU 4. Ooh. Yeah, they'll get to 6. I'd say 6 wins for them.
Okay.
Fresno State 4. You go first.
Well, I'm going under.
You have to, right?
I mean, I think it'll be... I just tend to think, at least at this point, that it's going to be a longer climb back to the top than a lot of other people around here seem to think it will be. I think they'll definitely be more competitive from week to week, but I don't think it's going to show up all the way in the win-loss column.
Okay, serious question, and this is not to be mean or rude. Are they going to win more than one game this year?
Yes.
They're going to beat Incarnate World. Who else are they going to beat?
I think they could beat Nevada, if I'm being honest.
It's a home game, so I could see that.
They should have beaten Nevada last year. Let's not forget that. And I think that if UNLV isn't able to get their quarterback situation sorted out, they could beat the Rebels as well.
What about San Jose on the road?
I mean, I'm not totally sure about that. I don't have a good feel on San Jose yet.
Yeah, they got a new new quarterback in Josh Love there. But okay, I wasn't being rude, but looking at who they play, there's only a couple winnable games on there. So hopefully, let's just say this: they're not getting to a bowl game like he did in Cal year one for him, right? For Ted.
Probably Fred. Not.
All right, last one: San Jose State at 4.
Honestly, this might be the only one where I want to say it's a push.
You think so?
Yeah, because, I mean, I think they're interesting on offense, and I think they have some pieces in place on defense. A lot of it is going to come down to, kind of like UNLV, how they get their quarterback situation settled, because...
Well, it's going to be Josh Love, right? He's
just... Yeah, but I'm just saying, they nearly got Kenny Potter killed last year. And
that too.
They're going to need to avoid doing that to try and survive in the West Division.
They do get South Florida with a new coach at home.
Mm-hmm.
They get Cal Poly... They go to Texas, so they go to Utah. I may go to that game. We'll see if that works out. Like, the games they can win, like, UNLV, that's winnable, but that's a road game. Like, the Fresno game, that can go either way. I'm going to say under, man. I got to go under.
Okay.
Because the West games, like, at Nevada, tough. San Diego State comes to town, but that's not going to happen, so... I'm going to go under. So let's go to our quick... This is going way too long. Sorry, we're over, folks. You get bonus time here. We're at 65 minutes. So really quick, we made some of our own that hopefully they're entertaining or not. You can play at home if you wish. So people are in love with our Monty Rogers at UNLV. We said, you and I came to the conclusion, 4.5 starts for him.
So what do you think?
Right now, you have Johnny Stanton back.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has the arm, but Rogers is a pretty highly regarded recruit who redshirted last year, and they lost Dalton Sneed, transferred. Looking at their
Kurt Ballendeck.
That's right, Kurt Ballendeck as well. He's also in the mix. Here's what I'm thinking: it could be over because they opened the season versus Howard and at Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Two games where UNLV could have won. I know. Isn't this Idaho's last year in FBS?
Yes, it is.
And they beat CSU last year, so not a terrible team, but normally they're not great. Mm-hmm. So I could see him getting a start versus Howard in Idaho. They get an off week before they go to Ohio State. I'm thinking with the early, easy schedule, I don't know who's going to win the job right now because that hasn't been decided. I'm going to say over on him getting 4.5 starts, so at least 5.
See, I'm thinking even if he does get into those games, I feel like there's... I don't want to say it's a certainty, but that there's a strong possibility that he does not start those games. And with that in mind, I would say the under. I think the chances are that he'll probably appear in more than 4.5 games. But as far as starting more than 4.5 games, I don't think so right now.
Okay, so that's sort of a different question or answer to both of those, yeah. Which is fine. I understand exactly. So how many games do you think he'll appear in if he's not starting?
Like I said, I think he'll probably appear in more than 4.5, but I think he'll start less than 4.5.
Oh, I wanted the specific number of some sort. Come on.
A couple of starts.
No, I just meant like if he's going to appear, like he's going to appear like in every game. So, no, that's fine. I thought you'd say, yeah, I'll see him in 8 games. But I'll go over, you go under, because since you hate Armani Rogers, got it. Check mark.
Oh, come on.
Okay, next one really quick. I'm taking over on this no matter what, and I put it in millions. The mention of Jeff Tedford being a quarterback guru.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't set this high enough, could I?
I guarantee you will hear it at least once per broadcast.
And especially if it's a new crew calling that game.
See, the parlay on this would be like which quarterbacks they mention most often with regards to his quarterback guru. Because obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to be the number one. But then like who's number two? Is it David Carr? Is it Akili Smith? Is it Joey Harrington?
Kyle Bowler? He got Kyle Bowler to be a first-round draft pick, man.
Your periodic reminder, by the way, that all four of those guys were garbage at the NFL level. And that they were probably not as good as you remember them in college. But that's beside the point.
Let me say this about David Carr. It was not his fault. He was sucked in the NFL.
Okay, the Texans. David Carr accepting. The Texans ruined him.
Tony Baselli. That's all I got to say. Oh, jeez. Yes. Let's take an expansion draft pick, which is nothing really to be excited about, and take it on an aging 37 or so offensive tackle. And start him. No, I'm not, because that's the reason they didn't take Derek Carr, and I'm still bitter about it. Nobody could give it to me otherwise. The PR backlash for not drafting or for drafting Derek Carr would have been huge, even though it was the right choice to make.
Never forget.
And now they're stuck with Brock Osweiler. Move on.
Okay, moving on. Rashad Penny replacing Donald Pumphrey as the lead back at San Diego State. Over under 1,500 rushing yards.
I will say the over because he got, what did he get last year? 1,100 yards, just about.
Yeah, I think he was just on.
Yeah, I have it right here really quick. He had 1,018 yards. An impressive 7.5 yards per carry average, which he probably or likely won't achieve. He only had 10 carries a game. Pumphrey had 25. Let's just say he doubles that to 20, which would be, I think it's reasonable. And so he's not going to double his yardage to get to 2,000, but I think there's a good chance he could get a 50% increase in yardage on double the carries.
And see, honestly, I feel like even if he gets 100 more carries this year, first of all, I don't think he's going to be averaging 7.5 yards per carry again, as awesome as that would be. I feel like it's going to be one of those things where he's going to get really close to 1,500 yards, but he's not going to get there because I also have a feeling that Juwan Washington is going to be really good. And that he's basically going to be the new Rashard Penny in that backfield. So I think what's going to happen is they're probably both going to end up with like 2,500 combined rushing yards or something like that. But that Washington will be just over 1,000 yards and that Penny will be just under 1,500.
Because last year, Washington had 441 yards on 55 carries. Four attempts a game. So I think the good comparison, like if you look at what James Butler did last year, he's basically double the carries, 260. He was at 1,336, and his average was just over 5 yards a carry, which is very good. So I'm wondering if he'll get in that range. I think he could well, it also one caveat that a little bit. We don't know if he's returning kicks as well. Because I think he should, because he's won the special teams player of the year back-to-back. And so I would say combined yards easily, because he had 225 last year in receiving. But I'm still going to say over because they're going to want to – because, honestly, Aztecs receivers, who's stepping up? I don't know. And so they're going to rely on the running game more early on or do status quo. So I think he may – not that he'll slow down, but they'll increase the passing if that Christian Chapman and whoever catches the ball finds a rhythm, finds a groove and throws the ball more than they did last year. But I think he'll get it. All right, real quick, Brett Rippon touchdowns, 30. That's a lot. He had 26 last year. Their schedule. Oh, I should have their schedule up in front of me again. They lose Thomas Spurbeck. I'm going to say under because the receiving core is, well, I guess they do have Cedric Wilson still. He could take up for Spurbeck. But I got to say under. That's a lot of touchdowns. 30 touchdowns would be, what would that be, Nashville? I guess say under. I think he'll get more than 26. I think he could get close, like maybe 28. But if you look at the national leaders last year, there were only 16 quarterbacks who had 30 more passing touchdowns. So that's a decent amount, but what do you think? Are you going over or under on this?
I think it'll probably be slightly under as well. And I think a lot of that will have to do with the fact that even though losing Jeremy McNichols is obviously significant for that offense, they're probably going to figure out how to replace him with like two or three other guys. And I think they'll probably get a similar amount of production from that part of the offense. So while I think he'll improve incrementally again, I don't think it'll be enough to crack that 30 touchdown barrier.
That's tough. And he struggled a bit at times last year as well.
Yeah.
All right, really quick. Air Force QB Arian Worthman averaging 100 yards per game on the ground.
As much as I think it would be awesome if he averaged over that, I don't think it's going to happen.
Because last year, where's the quarterback here? Dang it. Who was their starting quarterback last year?
It was Nate Romine.
He was not necessarily the runner. What did he average last year? Do you have that in front of you? I should have.
Let's see. Romine. I'm trying to look this up real quick.
Because Worthington took over halfway through as well through the season.
Yeah.
And he clearly looks to be more athletic and a more type of a runner than Romine was.
So Romine only had 31 yards per game. Worthman, by contrast, had 84 yards per game.
Yeah. Because there's only one game where he got over 100. That was against Georgia State. I should look up Tim Jefferson's stats. He'd probably be the most comparable, you think? I would think I'm going to go over because they lose Jalen Robinette. They lose talent on that receiving core, which I know they don't throw a ton, but he's going to get drafted, I think, or will get drafted at some point. And watching him take over, I'm going to go over. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say over.
I think he's probably going to end up somewhere around 80 or 90, which is still going to be really good.
Because they also lose a bunch of running backs as well.
Yeah.
I need to look who it is, because looking back at Tim Jefferson, he averaged maybe like 50 yards. He passed more. But he's between 50 and 70, nothing huge over his final couple years as starter. So I it's risky, but I'm going over. I'm going big.
All right.
All right, real quick. Bowl team, 6.5.
Under.
Under. There were 7 last year, so who's not going to the bowl? Like, who are your bowl teams in really quick? You want to rattle them off?
Yeah, Boise, New Mexico, Colorado State, San Diego State, maybe Utah State, maybe Wyoming.
Maybe.
I'm not totally sure about Hawaii.
I'm going to go under and say there'll be 6 because, like I said, Hawaii came out of nowhere to get that steal a bid last year, essentially.
Yeah.
And it helped that they were – there's also other circumstances because – of conferences who don't fulfill requirements. So I will say, I'll go under, but I'll say 6 is the norm because they've had 7 for the past 2 years?
I believe so, yeah.
So yeah, I think it's under because unless Utah State does something, that's the team where I would go over the edge of them, and I'm not still entirely sure of what they're up to. This next one's tough, man. 10-win teams.
I'm going to say under.
Because there were last year you had, and this includes bowl games, there were 3 last year. You had Boise State, Air Force, and San Diego State. New Mexico had 9. So there were 4 teams within 1 game. And then if you looked the year before, I think they also had that same number. Let's see really quick. We should look this up. No, there's 1, but there was 2014, I believe, where there was 2. Typically, there's like 1, I believe. Usually the conference champ, maybe the other division champ. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because here's the thing, there's 4 in 2014, all coming from the Mountain Division.
Yeah.
And now Zier Fresno won the division at 6. Oh, jeez. Oh man, the West is terrible. Was terrible. Is terrible outside of San Diego State, really.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
I'd have to look at the schedules more closely, but I gotta say under because it's not the norm. Because three, I could see two is realistic every year, but getting three, it's happened twice since 2014, and even going back to 2013, they had only one. So I'm going as when Fresno was 11-2. I'm gonna go under, and I could see two like. Typically, like this next year, I would see San Diego State and whoever wins the Mountain Division.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I could see more because, like, I'm really high in CSU. Boise State should be close. San Diego State has a real good chance to be there as well. So it's a realistic possibility to see three, but I'm gonna go safe bet Sander and two and be a chicken.
All right.
All right. I think we're done. I don't think we need to add anything else because we've gone 80 minutes.
You're welcome.
Yes, exactly. You're welcome. 15 of that is a burrito talk.
Yeah, feel free to skip that in retrospect.
Well, maybe I'll put a note in the show notes. 14 minutes and 30 seconds coming for football talk. So that's our show for tonight. We'll prepare. Oh, our next show is going to be about creepy Fresno State Photoshop?
We'll have to talk about that because it caught the attention of the mothership for those of you who didn't pay attention to that. People are noticing, so we have to talk about it.
We will make it fun. It might be a non-CFB show a little bit, but how come the Puppy Bowl post was taken out of the puppy one? Did you notice that?
I have no idea.
I went back to the tweet real quick. I'm going to make a video of it just because you can. And the puppy day, or National Puppy Day, was removed on Twitter.
I don't know.
So if you have that, send us a screenshot on MWC Connection on Twitter. So that's our show for tonight. Thanks for listening. Sticking with us on your long commute or whatever it may be, airplane flight, your sport at work. You want to hear two rando dudes chat about college football and burritos? Thank you. We appreciate it. iTunes, leave a review. Stitcher, leave a review. Here on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, I guess, and share on YouTube as well. Just give us a review. That's all we ask for, right, Matt?
Yeah.
Give us something. We want to know how we're doing because are we just spitting the wind or are people actually listening? Well, I know people are listening, but. Maybe some feedback. What do we have to do to beg to get feedback? What's the deal?
We just keep asking nicely. Please.
Okay. Well, that's nicely. Please. Maybe do we need to be nicer to San Diego State fans at times?
We'll say that we'll welcome you even if you're Team Bacon. Let's put it that way.
Ooh. You're going on a limb out there for you to say that.
Well, I'll forgive you for now.
For now. All right, that's what we got for tonight. MWCConnection.com is our website, so check out more off-season nonsense there. And as always, yes, we're biased against you. Yes,